You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's a game tonight, but it still kind of feels like the season is over, at least to me. I'm not speaking for anybody else, and I'm ready to just look ahead to the future. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Penguins. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Penguins and Stars tonight is at 8 p.m. Eastern. Down at American Airlines, it's Arena or Center. I can never remember which one it is because Miami has one that's American Airlines something too, and it's either Center or Arena. Whatever. There's a hockey game, and a couple days later, there will be another hockey game in Denver. These aren't going to go particularly well for your favorite hockey team. And I'm just going to say again that when I walked out of the building the other night in Newark, I was done. I was done. Not in a I quit kind of way, but in a they're done kind of way. I don't see anything useful happening for the remainder of this season. However, there are questions. There are significant questions, and some of those could be influenced over these final dozen plus games. And one of those, I think, is what do you do about the goaltending going forward? Now, the easy, obvious, punch you in the face answer to this is, what do you mean? What do we do about the goaltending when Tristan Jarry's signed for a half a decade? Well, I still think something can be done. I still think you have to look at all of your options, both at starter and at backup. You have to weigh what it is that they cost. You have to weigh what it is that you're doing in the near-term and long-term future and put together a real plan. The one part of this that I feel good about is that Andy Chiodo has shown himself to be a solid goaltending coach. Andy's a solid dude all around, and I knew that from when I was covering him back in the day as a player. But to see the job that he's done with both of these guys, Jarry and Alex Nedeljkovic, I've been really, really impressed. And that's not nothing. We've seen the other side of that. We've seen when we've had tons of questions about the goaltending coach. That's not now. So has he taken Jarry enough, or has Jarry taken himself far enough where you can say, all right, that was progress this year, which, by the way, it was. This was a step forward for Jarry this year. He still had his missteps. He still had his really awful knack for untimely goals. You know, Penguins score and he gives one up. Penguins get to a situation where they've got a two-goal lead or whatever. He gives one up. Games tied. He gives one up. There was a lot of that this season. No, not all of them were his fault, but the pattern was still in place. The pattern needs to be broken. The pattern can be broken with elite goaltending. Nobody would classify Jari as elite. He can be that on a given night. He can outplay an elite goaltender for an evening, but he's not that over the course of a season. What do you do with him? You stick with him. What do you do with the other slot? Well, that's where it gets interesting, because there's no way to not love what Nedeljkovic did. If I've ever been more wrong about a hockey assessment, it's when I shared with you guys last summer that I didn't like the signing. I didn't like the way Nedeljkovic played in Detroit. I really wasn't all that wild about his play with the Hurricanes, and I didn't care how great he was in the AHL. Well, in my face, okay, I'll eat that one. He was terrific. He was terrific on the ice. He was terrific off the ice. He was a great tandem guy with Jari, meaning how they got together, how they legitimately supported each other. I loved seeing that. It's been a while. And that, I think, helps the entire team, really, but especially at the goaltending position. That said, you have Joel Blomqvist, who's had his ups and downs in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. He was an AHL All-Star. He's also had nights where he's, you know, given up a bunch. You're going to expect that out of somebody who's younger. And I also don't know that Blomqvist reached the point where you watched him performing there and said, this is a waste of everybody's time. He needs to be in the NHL. This was his first year in North America, for one thing. So you can't really compare him, even though they were the same age, being promoted to Matt Murray. But you can reasonably say, hey, listen, the daylight's not that great between the AHL and the NHL when it comes to the goaltending position, and it's not, that we would feel comfortable heading into an NHL training camp this coming summer with Jari, Blomqvist, and some other version of a Magnus Hellberg. You know, someone who just comes in as your grown up in the room as the three who can move back and forth between your main team and your affiliate. I actually wouldn't have a problem with that. Not to be cheap, not because I don't like Nedeljkovic. I think it'd be awesome if he stuck around. But I think at some point you owe it to yourself to start seeing not just what the kids, as we call them, can do at forward and defense, where they're more visible and maybe more impactful from a youth standpoint, but also at the goaltending position. You have this kid right now. And if he showed you more than what you'd hope to see as a rookie, awesome. Whatever you do, don't hold him back. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Tim, who says, DK, realistically, how does this team get both younger and better this summer? I agree with your assessment of the bottom six, but the only free agents of note with expiring contracts are Jeff Carter, P.O. Joseph, and Alex Nedeljkovic. Even if you swap those players out for, say, Sam Poulin, Jack St. Ivany, and Joel Blomqvist, it doesn't seem like enough to really move the needle in a significant way that's needed, nor are the Penguins just some Sam Reinhardt or Noah Hanifin away from contention. So how does Kyle Dubas navigate all these no-movement clauses and other player contract issues to improve the roster? Tim, my reflexive answer here is I'm glad it's not me, okay? I'm glad it's not my job. I'm glad it's Dubas's job. All I have to do is watch him do stuff and come up with opinions on it. I've got the easy gig. I never forget that. But I see more in the way of trades than I do the picture that you painted. You painted one of, okay, here's three guys that are UFAs. You don't bring any of them back. They're gone. And now you've got three kids replacing them. I'm not doing that. I'm still looking at every available avenue of trades, mostly because the older guys that the Penguins have had, and obviously I'm exempting Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang, but I'm not exempting Yevgeny Malkin, not anymore. This, what we've seen from him over these last 3 months, should be terrifying to everybody, Gino having 2 more years on his contract. So you either find some new method of getting into some kind of different physical shape when you get older, kind of stuff that Pascal Dupuis and Chris Kunitz used to talk a lot about when they were here, and they pulled it off, especially Duper. My Duper was just such a conditioning freak. And they were able to adjust how they worked out, what kind of shape they got their bodies in relative to what was needed in a hockey sense. This is going to be a whole separate show someday for you. But I think Gino needs to do that. Gino finds his confidence. Gino finds his hockey everything in his legs. He and I have talked about that a lot over the years. Everything emanates from the legs. And when he doesn't have the legs, he just sulks. He just dies out there. It's really tough to watch. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there isn't. But those guys aren't going anywhere. Erik Karlsson isn't going anywhere. But then you look at the rest, the next tier of these players, and you ask yourself, why wouldn't you try to move Riley Smith? I mean, for anything, just for cap space. Doesn't have to be a good hockey trade. Why wouldn't you move Rickard Rakell after the season he just had? Did he get unlucky? Sure. Did he play great in those first 20 games while not scoring a single goal? Actually, yes. But then that got to him. And I don't have to guess at that. It really, really hurt his psyche, and he never really fully recovered from it. Would I move him? Sure, absolutely. Let somebody take the remaining years of that deal. I'd talk about Brian Rust, and I say that with no joy, none whatsoever. But you'd have to start moving some of those types to get the next layer, the next wave of the younger kids that you want. I don't know what's going to come of the Jake Guentzel trade. I know that there are a couple of legitimate players that the Penguins, meaning inside, really, really like. And that's coming from a couple of people that I respect in there. And that's good. That's good. They can come into a camp setting and maybe impress or surprise. They can be the next Valtteri Puustinen or Drew O'Connor. I think it's going to go more like that than it is as simply as you put it, where it's slot out, slot in. And it's not going to be something where you say, oh, that was the method that Dubas used. If it works, it's going to be, oh, that was the 900 different things that Dubas did that all added up to something good. I appreciate the question. It's a hard one to answer on a short show like this. I appreciate everybody who listens to Daily Shot of Penguins, and we will do another one Monday.